welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the programme that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm happy to have with me today in the studio on University Matters, Dr. William Zummeet. Just a few words about my guest. He was born in Malta in 1962, graduated B.Ed. Honours in 1987 from this university, and he proceeded to read for a master's degree in history, graduating, I might say, with distinction in 1996. Between that year and 2001, he read for a PhD, his fields of research being the dissemination of unorthodoxy and new ideas in Malta between 1700 and 1798. Dr. Zummeet also holds a diploma in library and information studies and has worked as a librarian for many years. He's also been involved in archive microfilming projects and has carried out extensive research in Maltese and foreign archival holdings. Dr. Zummeet has specialised in the study of the communication of ideas during the early modern period, with particular emphasis upon the role of printed matter. He's authored a number of books and academic papers, with his major publication being Printing in Malta, 1642 to 1839, which was published in 2008. Currently, he is the head of Department of Library Information and Archive Sciences. Welcome to you, Dr. Zummeet.
I would like to thank you, Patricia, for your invitation on this program.
Your subject is, of course, a fascinating one, books. The history of books.
I hope it is.
Oh, yes, definitely. So today we're going to be talking about Melitensia in particular and a bit about book history as well. Perhaps we could start off with a definition. That's always a good place to start, of what really Melitensia means and what book history implies.
Well, starting with the term Melitensia, by militancia, what we understand is any material which has been published, traditionally we're talking print. So traditionally we're talking about printed matter, whether books, pamphlets, single sheet items, ephemera, that has been published and that has in any way relevance to Malta in any way, either because it throws light on the history of the island, either because it is related to people who, in a way, either because they were Maltese themselves, or because they were in any way related to Malta. To take an obvious example, a lot of Melitensia is related to the Order of St. John. But of course, the Order of St. John is intimately related to Malta, and so if you have matter, printed matter, on particular grandmasters who ruled over Malta, of course that would be considered as Melitensia as well. So we're talking about quite a wide-ranging area, quite a diverse amount of material. Recently, it also encompasses the electronic Melitensia. So now we have Melitensia, which is being electronically published, online publications, online papers, even online journals that are Melitensia in the sense that they deal about Maltese aspects. So there is this quite vast amount of material. Traditionally, we tended to concentrate more on the books, on the sort of, you know, the important Melitensia are the books. Increasingly so, with diverse areas of research, communication, music, a number of areas, which require knowledge about Melitensia, which is more ephemeral, pamphlets, as I said, single sheet material, the type of material which often gets lost, which traditionally was not preserved. And so there is a big area there where there's a lot of work that has to be done.
And these ephemera really are extremely important, just because they are not a full book or whatever. Pamphlet, a few years down the line, can be an important source of information as much as a major publication.
Yes. I always say, very often, when we assess the importance of published material, one has to consider, obviously, the impact that that material had on its targeted audience, on the contemporary audience of the time. Now, very often, the type of material that leaves an impact, the type of material that reaches a mass audience, is precisely the ephemera, the pamphlets, the single sheet stuff. So if one were to study, you know, the spread of ideas, the as channels of communication, the way that information reached people, such material is of fundamental importance. As I said, traditionally, more from an antiquarian rather than from a scholarly aspect, we concentrated more on the big books. You know, if I take history, okay, we have Gianfrancesco Bella, Della Descrizione di Malta, which is, you know, the most famous, perhaps, item of Melitensia. But to what extent did Abela's work actually reach the people?
Okay? That's an interesting
point. Whereas the more ephemeral material, you know, the single sheet prayers, portraits of people that were printed, you know, adverts of medical people, you had all this variety. There was a much greater audience for that.
Exactly. The more popular in the
exactly. Yes.
And things like I'm thinking of plays that were put up, and you have perhaps a sheet, a program, a very loose one program, which gives very interesting information about who the actors were and information which you may well get just completely lost.
It is so
unless
true.
One copy at least is
kept. It is so true. That is one aspect. For example, the theatre, there is a considerable amount of Melitensia there, which is being discovered. It is one of the areas that I am particularly interested in, actually. You get the performances that were performed in our theatre from 1732 onwards, even before the Manuel Theatre was built, of course. And in many occasions, we have the actual libretti, the actual pamphlets, the actual notices of these performances. And they are incredibly interesting from an academic point of view. As you're saying, it gives you information about the performers, their country of origin. Extremely interesting, of course, are the actual themes of these operas. So you get ribald opera in Malta in the 18th century. You get opera, for example, in Malta that was actually prohibited because it included a part for a priest, for example, and that was condemned. But the libretto was printed before, and then the part was changed. So all this matter throws so much light about these, I would say, non-traditional aspects of research.
And when you're talking about book history in your context, what does that involve?
With book history, there are two aspects. There is the physical aspect, in the sense that understanding how a book was actually produced, the mechanisms behind it. What a book, actually, what an incunabulum, for example, looks like, what a pre-1500 book, its characteristics, how printing developed, the actual technique, the type of print, decoration, etc. The way of making illustrations, for example, the development of book illustration, of printed illustration. That is the technical aspect. Beyond that, and frankly, the area that interests me more is the book itself as a historical document, in the sense that its contents, the way that its contents influence contemporary society, circulation patterns, who actually book ownership, the presence of books in libraries, what books were available in which libraries. So it is the area where the book interacts with the audience, content-wise, reactions to it. So that is the area that really, because even book ownership, for example, if one studies the fabulous collection that we have in our National Library, there is room for an excellent study on book provenance. Where did these books come from? Who owned these books? Most often in the past, they had the ex libris.
I was going to say, sometimes it is possible actually
to
follow whose they were.
So that is a study in itself. Who actually owned these books? Presumably, who read these books? You know, what were the patterns of circulation of books in the past? In Malta, for example, we didn't have many bookshops prior to the 19th century, but you did have circulation. People loaned books to each other. Very important, you had the public library that sold its surplus, its duplicate material, and that was a fundamentally important way through which books circulated in Malta.
So this we're talking about, I suppose it's a bit of a pun, you know, the narrative of the book, what happened
precisely
to the book in itself. If I want to get to know something about Melitensia, or if I want to access Melitensia, where would I have to go? I mean, obviously, the National Biblioteca springs to mind immediately.
Yes. As you said, the starting point is very often our National Library. Our National Library, one can say, like most of the older national libraries in Europe, started as its core collection was a private collection. In our case, it was a private collection of two members of the order. So when one studies the content of our national collection, the vast majority of the books that are in our national library, strictly speaking, are not Melitensia at all. They were books that belonged to members of the order. From the mid-18th century onwards, the order stipulated that every knight who passed away had, you know, his books had to go to the collection in case of duplicate material that was sold. So the idea was not to create a collection of Melitensia. That came much, much, much later. We're talking the first legal deposit law was enacted in 1925.
Perhaps you could just explain legal deposit just in a few words.
Yes. Practically every country has some sort, they vary from one country to another, but every country has some sort of legal deposit law. Essentially, anything that is published in that country, a copy has to be deposited in the national collection. It could be one copy, it could be more than one copy, it depends. In our case, we had a new law last year. One has to deposit two copies at the National Library, one of which will go to the Gozo Library. And now, which is a positive and an important development, the University of Malta Library also has the right to exercise legal deposit. So if at the discretion of the University Library a book has been published and the library requires a copy has to be, by legal deposit, we are saying that the book is given free of charge. So copies which have to be given to the National Library and perhaps to other libraries in the country as well, as free of charge copies. Now, in our case, the first legal deposit law, properly speaking, was enacted in 1925. Now, that has obvious implications. Essentially, a lot of the pre-1925 Melitensia entered our National Library either through purchase or through donation, which, of course, leaves considerable gaps in the collection because you didn't have, you know, a statutory obligation for material to go into the library. After 1925, there is a reasonably good collection, because again, very often, as I said, very often the more ephemeral the pamphlet-like material, very often escaped even, you know, the rigors of legal deposit. So even post 1925, there are certain issues there, certain gaps there, but undoubtedly the first place one should start is the National Library. Having said that, our National Library has the largest collection of militancia available anywhere. So that would definitely be a good starting point. Of course, depending on the nature of research that one is doing, but one should be aware that there are many other areas where one can search, both in Malta and also abroad.
Such as?
In Malta, of course, even our university library has a good collection of militancia as well. Again, I know of material that is available in the University of Malta library, which is not actually available at our national library. So one has, you know, to do his homework well. Of course, you have private collections in Malta, again, with material which is not available in our public collections.
Is that, I mean, if you happen to know about it, okay, you might ask the owner to have a look at it.
True.
When it's in private ownership, it's always a little bit problematic.
Yes.
Do you think the situation has improved lately?
I would say that by and large in the last 20, 30 years, I would say that things have improved in the sense that, first of all, people who have this kind of material are gradually becoming more aware of its importance. Secondly, also, I think there is a certain maturity. One of the things that has happened, for example, the number of exhibitions, very well organized exhibitions, very professionally set up exhibitions, which depended to a very, very, very great extent on material from private collections. And when these collectors see the professionality through which such exhibitions are carried out, one is more open to you know, to make his material available. Also, I would say the amount of professional research that has been carried out makes private collectors, you know, more ready to contribute to this effort at you know, making the material that is available, you know, known and available for research. So I am quite optimistic in this respect. Mm-hmm. Of course, as always, there's still much that needs to be done. Perhaps one should refer at this point to one of the not too frequent, unfortunately, developments in Malta, the agreement between the government of Malta and one of the foremost collectors, Dr. Albert Ganado, so that his cartographic collection, his massive, unique, fundamentally important cartographic collection, has been passed over to the state. That is something, I mean, in recent years, definitely that has been a landmark where the expansion of the state collection, because even maps, incidentally, published maps, printed maps, an integral part of militancia. The state has acquired this unique, fundamentally important collection, and I think that we are moving towards that direction.
Certainly an example to be followed. Books and newspapers in Malta. What about the attitudes of the knights, say, for example, towards printing, or later on, perhaps in the 20th century, or the 19th and 20th century, printing has always been a bit of bit problematic for governments, hasn't it? What about censorship, control? Yeah. How has that panned out?
We always had this sort of by fits and starts situation in Malta where printing was concerned. First of all, we started very late. And printing was introduced to Malta in 1642. We're talking practically two centuries following Gutenberg's invention of movable type. And even then, it lasted for about 15, 16 years. Then you had problems of censorship. One has to keep in mind the peculiar situation of Malta. As a small island with a very limited population, I mean, by 1900, we had about 200,000 people. In the 1640s, you were talking about 56,000 people. You can imagine the amount of literacy. I mean, the rate of literacy was abysmal, of course. Besides that, you all also had a very tightly controlled political and religious situation. You had the Order of St. John, a Catholic, totally Orthodox Catholic order. You had the Church in Malta, you had the Inquisition. So there was no way in which printing in Malta was not to be going to be controlled in the strictest sense. And in fact, you had this tripartite system of censorship in Malta, the Grand Master, Bishop, and Inquisitor. You also had control in the sense that as late as 1839, you only had one printing press in Malta, which was the government printing press. The only exceptions being Church Missionary Society printing presses, but I mean, they printed material for export, or at least they were supposed to print material only for export purposes. So you had all these limitations, total control over the printed product, also the fact that the printing press was a state-owned establishment. Following 1839, then, you have freedom of the press, and things started to move in the sense that almost immediately you had a number of private presses opening in Malta. Of course, you had the development of journalism. Censorship was removed, replaced really by a rather stringent law of libel. So things moved towards that direction. Again, a main area of research which I'm working on right now is tracing the material that was printed in Malta between 1642 and 1839. Up to now, I have published the history of printing. Complementary to that, we need to know what actually came out.
The catalog?
Yes.
Wow.
We're talking a bibliography of material. Up to now, I have a record of about 2,000 items which came out. Of course, it's much easier said than done. I mean, again...
Sounds like a life's work to me.
Yes, much of this material actually is, you know, pamphlets, single sheet, this the sort of material, the elusive sort of material, which one really has to hunt down. From a positive side, with internet, with databases, I mean, research today is facilitated. We were saying, I mean, you have... libraries abroad, national, the British Library, a host of other libraries, even small private libraries, that have this type of material very often not available in Malta, but which is now more accessible.
In the last minute at our disposal, I think you've picked up, obviously, on the subject of the internet and databases. What about the challenges of archiving material today, which is very often sound, vision...
Yes.
And not the solid book.
Yes, that is one of the big challenges which we have to face. In fact, the last year we had a new Malta Libraries Act, and in the section where legal deposit is concerned, it specifically refers to non-print media, to online, to electronic media, which is expanding at a phenomenal rate. So even Militantia now, we are getting a lot of Militantia, which is being published either in print and also in electronic format, or simply in electronic format only. So right now, our national library, because primarily it is our national library that has the responsibility to ensure that even electronic militancia is preserved, that even electronic militancia enters into the collection.
Easier said than done, I would imagine, because so often you look for something, you read, oh, that's interesting, and then you go back and you realise that it must be floating in cyberspace somewhere.
Oh yes,
but you can't actually put your hand on it.
Oh yes, we are. In fact, the law has also established a Malta Libraries Council in which we are working on this. I mean, we are following what other countries did. I mean, you can't, at least at this point, it is difficult to have absolutely, to keep a record of absolutely everything. What many countries do is take snapshots, for example, of material. So we have to move towards that direction. It is something that we are working on. It is something that is fundamentally important.
Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. Zamni,
for coming to talk
to us about Militencia and book history in Malta. There were several other questions that I wanted
to put to you,
but it'll have to be for another time. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.